Elizabeth Esty, I know you're for Hillary. So tell me, how is she looking? If you were taking, you know, the whole breadth of the Hillary thing, when she looked down, when she looked up, where is she now?
I think she's had a very, very good couple of weeks, in a variety of different ways. She is a superb debater, and I think there's no question that she was in command both of facts, but also sort of really, really showed that she had this stuff to be commander-in-chief and to be president of the United States. And that's being able to command an audience and to not get riled up and not get distracted. And we certainly saw that on display as well with the 11-hour marathon Benghazi hearing, if you can call it that.
Let me ask you this about Hillary. Look, in my view, she's made a couple of mistakes. We all do. One of them, you know, is the Iraq invasion and things like that. Do you think people should be given a little leeway when they make a mistake, assuming you think she made a mistake, as I do?
I think none of us is infallible, and I think in retrospect things, with the best information you have at the time, people come to different conclusions about what makes sense. And then in retrospect, things may be much clearer than they were at the time. And I think that's always going to be the case. There's no human being, much less political leader, who's going to be right 100% of the time. So I think what you're looking for are values and character and judgment and capability. She's mm-hmm. immensely capable, immensely experienced, and I think she'd do a great job. And I have to say, I'm particularly pleased that she is really championing the gun violence prevention issues, which I think you know is core and central to me. And she's got terrific proposals on the table. And in fact, her pushing on some of the issues about executive orders that could be given, I think, is moving the current administration to look at some efforts they may be able to undertake, particularly around an issue that's actually really emerged fairly recently about whether we can do more with the Centers for Disease Control. Can we do more research right now that's allowed under the rules than we have tended to believe is possible?
Speaker Boehner is gone as of today, I believe.
Soon to be gone.
And Paul Ryan is taking over. Give us a little tutorial. What do you expect? Is this bad news or good news?
I'm an optimist, as you know, Alan. Yeah. I'm an optimist. I hope it will be good news. I think Paul Ryan is a smart, capable guy, very energetic. He believes in the committee process, and I think that's good because I'd like to see, and in fact, a number of us met with him, a number of us on the Democratic side met with him 2 weeks ago, and he said, listen, I'm not in leadership. It was right before, in fact, Kevin McCarthy pulled out. He said, I'm not in leadership. I believe in the committee process. I think the institution works better that way. So I'm hopeful that he will, in fact, you know, reflect that as speaker and sort of have the committees function a little bit better than they have been. I've been pleased the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee has been functioning pretty well, but a lot of them have not. So that would be a good thing. And I think he's actually, frankly, been pretty smart about how he's lined it up. So he's in a position to say if the Tea Party continues to be disruptive, he can either leave and say, I didn't sign up for this, or he can say, I don't have to listen to this because you said you wouldn't do it.
He said
he's
wants.
He's a smart guy. He's a smart guy. Put it that way.
He's very smart. He said he wanted to be with his family and wasn't going to go on the road, you know, every night doing that. So I wanted to ask you a question. Suppose you, Elizabeth Esty, had a super duper opponent who was threatening to win, and you needed Speaker Ryan. How would you feel? Would you say, okay, I understand he has to be with his family?
Well, that's it's an interesting that you raise that point, because I will tell you, there have been some conversation with some of the Republican women I've heard say, you know what, if they had said such a thing, that they would not have been praised for it, that they would have been, their seriousness as a candidate would have been questioned. And I think that's true. I don't think we're not to gender parity yet, because I think a woman who said that would be roundly criticized. So I applaud Paul Ryan for saying it, and I hope it does help move things and make people really think about, you know, what is a sane life and how can we be more supportive of families and of children, which we need to do in this country. So I hope he champions it. I think it would have been hard for a woman to make that same statement and be considered a serious contender for speaker.
Elizabeth Estey, let me ask you a question, which I'm sure may be discussed at your dinner table, but might not be right here. And that is, do you find any of the Republicans who are running for the nomination to be objectionable to a point of no return?
Yes. And okay. I will not elaborate, but yes, I do think some are not fit to lead the country.
You see, I asked a bad question. If I had asked that question correctly, I would have said, which of them?
No, you're not going to get me to do that. But, you know, it's very entertaining in some respects of what's going on right now, but it is also very serious. It is also very serious. And the country is facing real challenges. I hear about it every day from the people I'm honored to represent. I had a Congress on Your Corner in Newtown last week, and we had about 60 people show up. And about all kinds of topics. You know, there were some high school students who wanted to ask a bunch of questions about how Congress really works for an assignment for the American politics class. We had senior citizens who were concerned about about possible increase in their expenditures and their premiums for Medicare. That's actually something that the budget deal is trying to address, that concern, and changes in Social Security with having no cost of living increase this year. A group of folks came in who were concerned about pollinator bees and what's happening to our food supplies in the United States. The American people are deeply concerned about the future of this country and about their families, too. And the presidential campaign ought to be and is an opportunity for us to have those conversations as a country and within communities. So most of it is welcome. Some of it, frankly, is a little silly.
Well, Ben Carson says, Dr. Carson says, no abortion under any circumstances, rape and incest included. What did you make of that?
I think he's wrong. I think he also hasn't ever been, a woman who's been pregnant knowing that her child can never go to term. I think he's never been a woman who's been raped, who has a tremendously difficult decision to make. And I also disagree with his suggestion that we should have a religious test for president. That's something that the Constitution specifically bans. So that, you know, those are some of the, I understand the concern, is the appeal of Dr. Carson, who's an estimable doctor and person in a lot of ways, has really lifted himself up. But I don't agree with a number of positions, and I think some of them are squarely at odds with the Constitution, which is troubling for someone running for the presidency.
Well, Elizabeth Estey, love talking to you. Keep up the good work, and come back again, okay?
Absolutely. Next time, let's talk about some of the great school tours I've been doing. I want to talk about some of the great things going on in our classrooms that people may not know about.
Wonderful.